What's up, everybody? It's LG Doucet here. Today is Wednesday, March 10th, 2021. Welcome to The First Mint, a podcast where we talk about marketplace trends, big sales, and everything going on with NBA Top Shot. If you're new to Top Shot, there is a lot to learn, and at The First Mint, we're here to help you learn all of it, make sense of the data, and navigate the crazy world that is NBA Top Shot. We have a very special episode for you today. First off, we're going to go around the world of the First Mint. Then we're going to do a quick little public service announcement about challenges as well as some trades that have happened in the NBA. Then we're going to focus on what's coming up next and how to navigate the next couple weeks and days, followed by a segment that I've been looking forward to for a very long time. We have an interview with the one and only Whale Shark. If you don't know who Whale Shark is, you probably know his account. It is called the Whale Vault, and it is by far the most valuable one in NBA Top Shot. But there's more to that than meets the eye. Here's far more than just a simple NFT collector. We're going to dig into that in just a little bit. I want to remind everybody that none of the content here constitutes trading advice in any way, and that this show is not affiliated with NBA Top Shot, the NBA, or Dapper Labs. I'm just a guy at his house who loves basketball and blockchain. This is the First Mint. The First Mint is really starting to expand its content ecosystem. If you were on Twitter or on YouTube last night, you definitely caught a glimpse of the debut stream of the Plunge Fathers Tuesday night data dive. We'll find a better name for it in the future, but it's pretty much a show we're going to start on Tuesday nights where the legendary Plunge Father takes us through all the week's data. Last night, the main focus of the episode was how to buy and sell moments in the marketplace, especially when it comes to how to price them. He had some special guests on with him, like Chugs and Bugs, Greg Murray, as well as Taylor Stein. Really four of the smartest guys in Top Shot having a deep conversation about the data. It is must-watch TV. You can catch it on the First Mint YouTube channel. It's probably the last thing that's listed. Other stuff to look out for this week at the First Mint. This Friday, we have our regular First Mint Friday extravaganza, a show, a live show, hosted by myself, The Real Fieldy, and Plunge Father, where we rotate through some of the most amazing guests in the community, whether they're builders or notable collectors. We also play some fun games with them, and of course, we do a raffle for the audience. To enter that raffle, you have to be there live for the show. We also have a couple of other surprises coming up this week, including the reveal of our top secret challenge. And I can't tell you what it is because it's top secret, but I can tell you how you can participate in it. You go to our Twitter channel at The First Mint and you find the form that I've posted in some of our recent tweets and you open it and you enter it with your username on Top Shot. That's all you need. All you need to enter our top secret challenge is a Top Shot username. Very easy. I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you that we are very excited about how it's going to roll out. We may or may not announce what it is this Friday on the show. Now we're going to move on to a very quick public service announcement about challenges. So I know there's a lot of new challenges that are happening right now, most of them the Seeing Stars and Rising Star challenges. A lot of people are asking me if some of the Seeing Stars moments and Rising Stars moments that are part of the current challenges will be needed for the next challenges of those same sets. And I can tell you with a 99.9% certainty, and that's a small little 0.1% that might be wrong, but I can tell you with a near perfect certainty that that will not be the case. For example, the Seeing Stars challenge that's up right now, it's for Kevin Durant. You need, I don't know, what is it, 12 of the moments from the All-Star game to complete it. When that challenge is over, the LeBron James challenge for Seeing Stars will start. Will you need any of the moments from that first challenge for the LeBron James challenge? No, probably not. It's not going to be some kind of master challenge like Cool Cats is. If it does become a master challenge, we will be made aware very far in advance, just like we were for the LaMelo Master one, where we were told very early in the Luka challenge that there would be a master. Anyways, the reason for this, a lot of you are wondering why these challenges aren't running at the exact same time. And it's probably because Top Shot wants to give everybody a fair chance to do both of the challenges. They don't want to make you choose between Kevin Durant or LeBron James. They want you to be able to do both of them. And the same thing goes for the Rising Stars Challenge. The first reward right now that's out up for grabs is Anthony Edwards. Once that challenge is done, the Zion Williamson challenge will then start. Same reason as to why they're not running at the same time. Another thing I want to clear up that I've been asked a lot lately is why are certain challenge rewards still designated CC Plus? So when a challenge is finished and the rewards are minted, that is usually the total that they're minted at. There's no more that are made. However many people finish them, that is the total mint. However, that total is kept open usually for a couple weeks or a couple days because sometimes there are issues with some accounts on the Top Shot side and those rewards must be left designated CC Plus, not LE. A good example right now is the Luka Doncic Cool Cat. That challenge finished over a month ago and yet it still says CC Plus, and that's because every couple days or every couple weeks, one or two more are added because I think that just on the Top Shot side, there's some kind of issue with some of the accounts when they tried to finish a challenge. I don't know much more about it, but for those who are wondering why those say CC Plus, why the Lucas says CC Plus, don't worry. It doesn't mean that there are going to be hundreds more added. It just means a handful more might be added for that moment. Last thing to clear up, last little PSA, trades. A lot of people have been asking me, there's a Blake Griffin moment out there. It's minted 1 of 12,000. It's limited. It's his first one on Top Shot. Now that he has left the Pistons and he's going to the Brooklyn Nets, will that moment be cut down from 12,000? Will it not be released? It will be released. Those moments have been made. A lot of them have been put in packs, and they will come out in packs that are coming up. Just because a player has been traded doesn't mean that the moments that are already made don't get released. If a player is traded and his moments are not fully minted, then they will probably be stopped. This happened with Caris LeVert and Jarrett Allen a month ago when they were traded in the mega deal for James Harden. They had been minted up to about 4,000 or 5,000 and they were capped at 5,000. There weren't more moments than that that had been made. But if the moments are made, they will be released. And proof to that is during Metallic Gold Series 2, which the last drop was the last premium pack, which was about 2 weeks ago, there were James Harden Rockets moments in that metallic gold. His metallic gold moment from Series 2 is a Rockets moment. He'd been traded a month before that pack drop and yet was still included in that drop. That's all I'll say about that. So what happens from here on NBA Top Shot? We know that the marketplace is currently being worked on to get ready for probably something big, probably a lot more moments come down the line. It could be that the badges, the famous rookie badges or first moment badges, are finally being introduced and added to moments. It could be something totally different, but it's very likely that tons more moments are on the way. I know some of you don't want to hear that, but the reality is that this market needs to be diluted a little bit more. A lot of people need to be able to buy some really good players at a relatively low price. What's going to come out? Good question. Probably Cool Cats 3. We know that Cool Cats 3 have been packed into packs and that there will be 75,000 packs and that those moments are 1 of 15,000 each. Each of those 75,000 packs will contain 5 moments, one of which is Cool Cats and then 4 Comets. So that's 375,000 moments coming sometime very soon. What else is coming out? The pre-order. 2 weeks ago, tons of us got to pre-order Release 21. And Release 21, these moments are not out in the ecosystem yet. They are entirely new moments. I think there were about 200,000 orders, which means there are going to be 600,000 more moments. Add that all up, that's almost 1 million more moments coming potentially in the next 5 or 6 days. So when you're making your buying and selling decisions, keep that in mind that there is way more stuff on the way. Another thing to look out for, and we saw this just crop up last night, in the marketplace database, there is something that has been added called Team Durant East. There's no moments that show up when you search it, but you can, and it doesn't correspond to the Seeing Stars, the Rising Stars, or anything like that. Credit to the real Phil D as well as Twitter user Rob Flaska for seeing that, and also for pointing out that it could actually be a set from the All-Star game, from moments from the actual All-Star game, and that they could actually be legendary moments. Again, pure speculation, so keep that in mind, but something to think about in terms of what might be coming next. Now, with all that information, many of you might be wondering, how do you know how to price your moments? What are you supposed to do with your moments? And know that your questions, you know, you're not alone in asking them, because I feel the same way. I've got all these new moments. What do I do with them? They're new. They don't have precedent. Prices on Series 2, they've been going down. So what am I supposed to do? I get it. It makes sense. It's a good question. It's been a wild couple days and couple weeks, and it will be a wild couple days and couple weeks. The marketplace will be on fire. The marketplace will probably be down again. There are going to be lots of sales and lots of action. My advice for navigating these waters as you get new moments and also try and properly collect your current ones and decide what to do with them, stick to the basics. If you're buying or selling, don't try and time the top or the bottom. That's really difficult. Buy or sell at a price that you're happy with. If you're making a profit on a moment and you want to sell it, take that profit. Profit is profit. You can still do more stuff with that. Move on from it after you've done it. Outside of that, stick to star players. They're far more reliable in Top Shot, even if they have too much supply. Star players will always retain their value. Also, look for good rookies who get tons of usage, who play lots of minutes every night. Don't look at rookies who aren't getting that much time, spending a lot of time on the bench, maybe being sent down to the G League. I'd say avoid those. You want rookies that are in use, that are developing every single day. And then, of course, look for players that you love. It's just going to be easier to invest in guys that you actually really like watching to play. Last piece of advice, ask your friends. Ask us on Twitter. Ask the community. If you're making a big purchase, you want to start saving up for the Seeing Stars LeBron Challenge, ask people if they think that's a good idea. Get that community feedback. That's why we're here. That's why there's hundreds, thousands of accounts on Twitter willing to give out their unsolicited opinion. People want to help. So if you have questions, don't hesitate to ask. All right, folks. Now it's time for the interview with Whale Shark. I've been very excited for a very long time to chat with this person. And there might be a lot of stuff in this interview that you don't fully understand. And once it's done, I encourage you to look up Whale Shark on Twitter and look up the whale community. NFTs are not easy to understand, but once you get it and you get deeper into it, you realize just how awesome they are. When you're learning this stuff, be patient with yourself and absorb as much as you can. Listen to every last word that this man has to say. Let's give it a go. Here's my time with Whale Shark. And we are on with the one and only Whale Shark, the man who is behind the community that has the largest account in Top Shot. Whale Shark WS, how are you doing today?
Luke, I'm doing great. And thank you so much for having me on. Huge fan of what you and the First Mint team is doing here. I listened to all of your podcasts, was actually just listening to your latest podcast while I was working this morning. It's just truly a thrill and honor to be here with you today.
We are happy to have you, and a lot of people in Top Shot Nation are very eager to hear from you and hear the story behind the Whale Vault. So let's get right into it. Tell us really quick, what is the Whale Vault and how did it get involved in Top Shot?
So the Whale Vault is the single most valuable collection of non-fungible tokens or NFTs in the space today. At the latest valuation, the Whale Vault was valued at upwards of $20 million. Talking about valuations, it depends on the different websites or tools that you do use. Now, you know, I have always been a fan of Dapper Labs and what they have been doing in the space. So when I learned about the project, I would say 6 months to a year before it was launched, due to podcasts that Katie was on, I had my eye on NBA Top Shot for a very, very long time. Given that we were very lucky enough to be early registered for the initial launch that happened last year. And when we did, we decided to make a sizable investment into the initial Cosmic Series 1 drop. The experience, the user experience, and the entire process was just so addictive and was just so well done that we started to expand that collection, not only from the legendary Cosmic Series 1 drop, but also to the Holo drop and all the other legendary drops moving forward. Through that sort of a process, we essentially managed to accumulate one of the largest NBA Top Shot holdings in the entire space.
When you say we, what do you mean?
The Whale Vault is actually not owned by myself. The Whale Vault is owned by the Whale community. which is the single largest general NFT collector and creator community in the space. We have over 7,000 members within the Whale community. And what we do together is we look at projects, we look at NFTs, and we decide, you know, which projects to invest in. And when we do collect assets from certain projects, we go extremely deep, as you've seen from our holdings at NBA Top Shots.
How do you then manage as a collective, then how do you manage the actual Whale Vault account? How does that work? How do you decide what to buy, what to sell, challenges to do, drops to participate in? How does that work?
So while I am given a significant amount of leeway by the community to decide what to buy on a monthly basis, the decision to sell has to be done through what we call the Whale DAO. And DAO refers to a decentralized autonomous organization. Essentially, every single member in the Whale community has a say in what we decide to sell to the market. You know, there is a process that we go by where we have three different voting stages. You know, for the Americans in the audience, we have a Whale DAO House, we have a Whale DAO Senate, and then after that, we actually have a Whale Board of Directors. So a proposal actually has to pass through those three stages in order for something to hit the market.
Interesting. I like it. Okay. So it truly is a collective decision making when you're deciding what to get in Top Shot and in any other NFT project, correct?
Absolutely. Again, we're here for the long term. We believe in investing in projects over the course of 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and more. So I do think that the collective brain trust of NFT experts is significantly more apt and intelligent than the mind of a single collector.
I feel like a lot of people in the Top Shot community can relate to that because, you know, I feel like a really great thing about the Top Shot community is people relying on each other for advice and trying to figure things out together. So people relate to the need for that. So that's a really smart strategy. Can you give us a little bit of history about what the Whale Vault has been doing in Top Shot, like kind of from that early access up until recently, how active you guys are in investing and again, just some general strategy points?
Absolutely. So the very first time we entered into Top Shot was with the Cosmic Drop. I want to say that the major investments that we've made from a primary perspective, direct purchase from NBA Top Shot, was actually in the Cosmic Series 1 drop as well as the Holo drops. After that, interestingly enough, an opportunity came up to acquire one of the largest accounts in NBA Top Shots back then. I want to think that it was in September of last year, which is why originally people saw Whale Vault 1 and Whale Vault 2. It was actually an account acquisition where we acquired one of the largest collections with the number one LeBron base moment. And we did that, you know, for to the tune of about $50,000 back in September, October of last year. After that, you know, again, there were many opportunities within the space to start collecting some of these rarer moments. One of the most interesting things that we did was when Top Shot pricing was going through a lull in the fourth quarter of last year, we actually went onto the secondary market and started acquiring, you know, low serial number cosmics as well as holos. You know, we collected a Colin Sexton, right? Number one Colin Sexton from the holo drop for $880 in November, which in today's terms is unheard of. So I think all of those opportunities still exist. At the same time, you know, when we enter into a project, we like to collect the most rare and most valuable assets within that project, which is why you see our involvement, not only in Top Shot, but in any other project, always targeting the most rare and valuable assets. And the reason why we do that is because we do believe that in a bear market, those top assets are going to retain the most amount of value due to the scarcity and illiquidity of that asset. But at the same time, in a bull market, you see them also accrue the largest amount of growth. So if I had two pieces of advice for your audience today, the first one would be definitely when you enter into a project and when you're in NBA Top Shot, definitely look for bargain deals on the rarest moments that you can find. And number two, there are always opportunities out there if you're scanning through the market, if you know what you're looking for. You know, sometimes people really drop a bargain or a deal down there.
Let's bring it back to Top Shot for a second. Are you personally a big NBA fan and basketball aficionado?
I am a huge basketball fan. Love playing the game. Have been playing the game since I was 8. You know, during high school, during college, you know, if I wasn't studying, if I wasn't hanging out with the friends, I'd be down in the gym playing pickup basketball. So I just totally and utterly love the game. While NBA Top Shot has encouraged me and has spurred me on to keep a closer eye on the NBA, as well as all of the amazing things that are happening down there, for myself, you know, I pay homage to the game by actually playing it.
When you were playing, I'm assuming when you were younger, and what you're talking about, did you have a particular player in mind that you admired or tried to emulate?
I mean, my favorite player back in the day would definitely have been Michael Jordan. I think all of us were enamored with the amount of vitality and the amount of the amount of strength that he brought to the game, right? It was revolutionary. In terms of the latest players in the NBA, my favorite by far is Steph Curry, right? I think it's amazing what he's doing both on and off the court. He revolutionized the way that we look at three-pointers and how that plays inside the game itself. And at the same time, he's just a fantastic human being, giving back to the community, really becoming a role model for all of the youth and everybody watching out there. And at the same time, really keeping his eye on the ball, sorry, pun intended, and really focused on honing that craft and being the best three-point shooter known to man.
And when you played in your playing days, Will Shark, I like we're talking about as though you had this like illustrious career. What was your position? What did you play?
I wish I had an illustrious career in basketball. Unfortunately, I am only 6 foot, so that is tiny by Western standards. I'm a pretty versatile player, right? So I can shoot, I can post, I can drive. So I would play probably something more akin to a small forward. But again, given my relative size when I came back to Asia, could actually play a power forward or center over here.
At this point in time, is the Whale community looking to invest more into Top Shot as it evolves?
Absolutely. I think the way that we're going to approach it, again, is sticking to that investment thesis behind making sure that we're always collecting the most rare of assets. So one of the things that I'm very much looking forward to is actually the drop of more legendary packs. I'm not sure when they're coming, but would love to see them. And we're definitely going to be lining up and trying to get a few. Whenever I look at my Top Shot collection, and go to the filter, I see this unused tier of what they call Ultimate. I cannot wait to see what they have planned there. Yeah,
yes.
Ultimate.
Yeah. The rumors around the Ultimate tier in Top Shot, you know, we know that they're one of one, three of three. The rumor is that some of them are going to be auctioned off or used for other promotional purposes. Would the Whale Vault be participating in auctions for one of one Genesis Top Shot moments?
Definitely. But one of the things that we've noticed in the space is that the amount of large, deep-pocketed collectors has increased significantly. I want to liken it back to our original Top Shot journey. When we first invested in or started to collect Cosmic Series 1 packs, we could have done it over the span of 2-3 days and been able to do it at leisure, which we actually did. Today, you know, even if you line up, it's not a guarantee that you're going to get a pack drop, right? So I think the amount of interest and spotlight in the space has made it very difficult, even for collectors as large as ourselves, to be effective in many of the auctions or promotions that are happening. So I do believe that really does sharpen our strategy into really understanding exactly what we want and being able to put our full weight behind that.
When new people arrive to Top Shot and they start combing through the accounts and they see, you know, who some of the big players are, and they see the Whale Vault valued at pretty much double any other account, the next closest account, how should they feel about that? Is that something encouraging for them? Should they be intimidated by it? What's your take there?
I think they should be encouraged by it. I need everybody to know that, you know, when we started our investment or collection in Top Shot, you know, our initial amount that we allocated to that was $150,000, which really wouldn't buy anything today, right? If you're looking at some of the market pricing that is on Moment Ranks or some of the other wonderful websites that have been set up to do the valuations. So I always think that the opportunity is there. Audiences need to take a critical eye and an analytical eye to understand which packs and which players are going to escalate in value, while at the same time spending a significant amount of the time in the market really combing through absolute bargains that might exist down there, right? Again, likening it back to our journey in October and November, we actually not only purchased that Colin Sexton number one holo for $880, we also purchased quite a few other moments as well. So I think the opportunity is always there. It's just really how much you give to analyzing and combing through the market and being able to get those moments that will escalate in value. At the same time, I know that we've all been hearing about LaMelo Ball's huge blow up, right? Recently, the NBA Vault owns zero LaMelo Balls, which I would love to have had some of those cards in the vault as well, right? So the opportunities are always there, my friends. It's just making sure that number one, you're analyzing the market correctly, and number two, you're actually doing the due diligence and going through that marketplace and really just combing through all of the available bargains and deals that might be there.
Don't feel bad about it, man. I sold LaMelo Ball for $28.
No!
and I was like, at the time, I was like, what a flip. I bought him for like $16 and now I'm selling him for $28. Like, wow. I'm a big time NFT flipper, and now I'm the biggest fool in the world.
But nobody could have seen that coming, right? I'm sure it's going to be with a lot of these new upcoming rising NBA stars. I mean, you know, one of the reasons why we don't want to sell either is because, you know, we have a lot of uprising coming stars and, you know, they haven't had the chance to fully prove themselves yet. And, you know, all we do have is time, right? And as they start to perform and as they start to drag up those numbers, you know, we're going to see the valuation of those moments escalate as well.
Let's switch over and tell us again, very quickly, 30 seconds, what exactly the Whale Vault is outside of Top Shot.
So while everyone has heard about the Whale Vault from Top Shots and those ranking websites, the Whale Vault essentially is the largest, single, most valuable NFT collection in the entire space today. And it comprises of multiple assets, such as NBA Top Shot, which is a digital collectible, but it is also one of the largest holders of digital art, like what we like to call crypto art, as well as digital land or digital real estate, on many of the upcoming metaverse platforms that are emerging. So we're really invested in the growth of NFTs as well as the growth of technology in general.
What is the Whale token?
So what I did back in May of 2020 was donate my entire collection of NFTs that I had been accumulating over the previous 1 year to a community called the Whale Community. And what we did was we represented the value of that vault by using it to back a social token called Whale. It is available to everybody today. It is available on the market. And it's just a way of representing the value of the vault.
Why Whale Shark?
A fantastic question. And a question that I have not heard asked or I've wanted to heard asked for quite a bit. The pseudonym Whale Shark is actually a very philosophical one. I believe that the world is dichotomous in nature, and people also have a dichotomy, right? Good, bad, strong, weak. Whale Shark is really a pseudonym that reflects the dichotomy in myself as an investor, right? And as a person. So on one hand, you have the very peaceful and you have the generous whale. And on the other side, you have the shark who's analytical, who's very objective about looking at markets, looking at investments. And what I wanted to do was capture that dichotomy within myself through the pseudonym.
If you had to pick something else besides Whale Shark, what was like the second pick besides that?
The second pick besides that would have been...
if Whale Shark was taken, what would you have had to go with instead?
I'm going to leave this as a riddle for you guys. but it's essentially it would have been 1110. And because it does relate to myself in real life, but probably the nickname I would have taken is 1110.
Okay. I don't know anything about binary, so somebody else who's listening to the podcast is going to have to solve that one. So that's okay. For people who are, I'm going to bring it back to NFTs. For people who are looking to get started in that industry, because we have a lot of people in Top Shot who they've just discovered this. They're loving their experience in Top Shot and they want to get more involved. They're hearing about CryptoPunks and Hash Masks and Sandbox and all the other cool projects that are going on. What are a couple pieces of advice for them to get started?
Absolutely. So the first thing is that the amount of information on the non-fungible technology space has exponentially increased since I entered into the space 2 years ago. The first step should definitely be going on to YouTube and taking a look through all of those primer videos and introductory videos so that one can understand what NFTs are and their significance to the true ownership and management of digital assets. So that would be my first step. The second step that I would take is definitely get on Twitter. I know that we live in the age of Instagram, but NFTs reside on Twitter, right? The collectors, the creators, it somehow became our default way of communicating. Follow all of those collectors, creators, wonderful podcast creators like First Mint, and you know, just be able to soak in all of that knowledge. The third thing that I would do is definitely join some Discords. There are a couple of Discords out there where you have thousands of people willing to help out and to educate as well as to guide, and that will also help immensely. Coming in from Topshot, you know, once again, there are so many things to invest in at the moment, but I do want to caution everybody to exercise an extremely critical and analytical eye if you are buying for investment's sake, right? If you're buying just out of love, then really you can't put a dollar value on that. But if you're looking from an investment perspective, you know, really take a look at some of the wonderful websites like CryptoSlam or others where you're actually able to see some of the numbers behind liquidity as well as collector size. Those will help you really determine whether or not it's a robust project or not. Absolutely. Those would probably be the main points in order if someone did want to enter the space today.
I mean, this is really a generic question, but I think it's something that we all want to hear you tell us about. Where do you see NFTs in 10 years from now?
In 10 years from now, my friend, we will not be even calling them NFTs. I think, again, the concept of NFTs is just an inevitable and natural evolution of digital assets. We live in a world where people are already spending $1 billion a year on digital goods, you know, and when they do purchase those digital goods, simply because they're locked into platforms like games such as Fortnite or CSGO, really, that is not true digital ownership and management. Very like the way that our physical lifestyle is moving to a digital lifestyle. You know, people will need to have true ownership and management of their digital assets as they continue to accrue in value. So 10 years down the road, I believe that all platforms with digital content, whether that be games, whether that be, you know, music, whether that be, you know, art, they are all going to utilize NFTs or non-fungible technology in the background without the mainstream user really understanding or needing to know, you know, what is the blockchain and what are NFTs.
Do you have any examples of ways that you could see NBA Top Shot moments evolving beyond the current collection methods?
I think so. NBA Top Shot really took an evolutionary leap from, you know, traditional 2D physical non-moving sport card to moments. At the same time, I do think that there are so many ways that this space could be innovated. What we're seeing right now is a variety of Web 3.0 tools that are being used to integrate additional functionality into NFT assets. Let me give you an example. What you have is you have Unlockable Protocol, which is an ability to use an NFT as almost like a key to another experience, right? So I could definitely see people being able to collect a certain moment and be able to use that as an access key to be able to garner entrance into an actual NBA game or maybe a virtual NBA game, right? In addition to that, there are additional protocols that are being built where you can embed one NFT or another token into an NFT asset. So imagine a Russian doll of NFTs whereby if you purchase this moment, it had five other NFTs hidden inside it. And essentially those five NFTs will only be continued to unlock over a set period of time. So I think there are so many things that are occurring in the space right now. NBA Top Shot is very well positioned to leverage all of those protocols and all of that innovation. I can't wait to see what they do with this going forward.
Okay, I've got a little game for us to play, if you
Sounds will. Good.
And the game is called Would You Rather. Okay, so I'm going to give you, and we do this with all our, you know, top collector guests. So I'm pretty much going to give you two options and you have to tell me which one you would rather. Okay, would you prefer all the Zion Williamson Cosmics or a one-of-one Steph Curry?
This is difficult, my friend.
That's why it's called Would You Rather, man. That's why it's not easy decisions wow. at the first minute, okay?
I would actually take the one-of-one Steph Curry.
Okay. Would you rather 2,000 LaMelo Ball moments of the one that's been hot, the, you know, one of 4,000 ones. So you have half the supply of the LaMelo Balls, or his number one legendary.
I would definitely take his number one legendary. Once again, pertaining to the thesis about the way that we collect and invest, definitely scarcity over quantity for sure.
Okay. Would you rather a Michael Jordan one of one, or you get to play a private pickup game with Steph Curry?
These get harder and harder, my friend. I would take the Michael Jordan one of one. I would then auction the Michael Jordan one of one for charity. And then after that, have Steph Curry be a part of that, so he would have to come play ball with the entire whale community. How about that?
Okay, there you go. Now you're getting creative with the game. Nobody ever does this, but I like this. Get interpretive with the questions and have some fun with it. Okay. Would you rather double the amount of NBA Top Shot moments that the Whale Vault has, or be in a new TV commercial with Michael Jordan?
So I am an extreme introvert. So while I would love for Whale Shark eventually to be on some commercials, would definitely play to the benefit of the entire whale community and go with the Top Shot moment.
Okay, what if Michael Jordan came and he said, I'll join Whale Shark community, but it's got to be called Michael Whale Shark Jordan community.
And can we see him doing that? Let me think. So, you know,
and you have to smoke a cigar with him every day for a year.
Oh, dude, I don't know if I'd last a year. I think the whale community belongs to the community. And while we love having a lot of high-profile collectors, creators, as well as celebrities within our midst, at the same time, I think they follow that same ethos and value in the fact that, you know, this is for everybody and this is to change the world. So most likely would definitely have to pass on the cigars. I do not know if my mouth and my throat could take a year of cigars, my friend.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Very good. Very, very good answers. Okay, this is the last question. And it's not a would you rather question. It's more of a hypothetical question. If you were to reveal who you are and it turned out that you were actually a current NBA player, who would that be? And you can't say Steph Curry, because we already know you love Steph Curry and that he does great stuff. So it can't be Steph. It has to be some other player.
I would say that I would come out and say that I was Yao Ming. How did that curveball seem?
That's perfect, man. I've heard weird things about Yao Ming, that it's like the NBA actually lied about how tall he was, and that he's actually like 8'2" or something like that. He's actually like an entire foot taller than they listed him as. But I could see that, especially because you were talking about how you were short at 6 feet and how that could just be a lie and you're actually Yao Ming. That'd be perfect.
I mean, I've seen him in person in Shanghai. He's tall. I wouldn't be able to measure, but it's just I think my neck cranks up and cranks all the way to the back when I did see him.
You heard it here first, folks. Whale Shark may or may not be Yao Ming. He does media appearances as Yao Ming when he's not talking about Whale Shark stuff. I love it. Whale Shark, thank you so much for your time. And we'll have to chat again soon.
Absolutely. It's truly been a pleasure. I love everything that you guys are doing in the space, welcoming everybody to the NBA Top Shot community. Luke, thank you so much for having me, and kudos to you and the First Mint team.
If you want to know where to find Whale Shark, you can find him on Twitter, whaleshark.pro. Highly recommend that follow, as well as anybody else that he recommends to follow. And with that, we are at the end of our show. Give us a follow on Twitter, at The First Mint. Hit us up. Hit us up with your DMs, with your questions. We do our best to get back to everybody, at least within a day or two. Otherwise, keep an eye out. This Friday, we have another First Mint Friday extravaganza, one that I am so excited for. Again, I can't tell you the guests or what the challenge is going to be, but you definitely want to tune in. Otherwise, good luck collecting this week, and we'll see you Friday on The First Mint.